About 100 years ago, when I was a college student in Boston, those of us who liked jazz a lot hung out at a small club named Storyville. It was run by a man who was even nuttier about jazz than the rest of us, a man named George Ween. In the summer, he ran a jazz place out on Cape Ann. And a few years later, when somebody said, hey, they're having a jazz festival in Newport, Rhode Island, it was no surprise at all to find George Ween in charge. He's been at it nonstop ever since. Billy Taylor reports on George Ween's life in jazz.
He calls you so nice and loving, and you have such pleasing ways. Take me to your home, be there, be rest of my day. That's true, mama. Lord, you know I would lie.
It is Saratoga, and a jazz festival, America's summer staple, is in full swing. Jazz artists like Jay McShann keep the music rolling and the sun-soaked crowd rocking from noon until the wee hours. Roll on, roll on, roll on. Roll on, roll on. Jazz festivals are kaleidoscopic presentations of the world's finest jazz musicians. The concept was created by this man, George Ween.
We did Ella Saturday night at the Kennedy Center, and we just about sold out. There's 2,800 seats, did about 2,750 seats. It was a tough sale. Next Sunday, she's going to be in Pittsburgh at a free concert. We'll have 150,000 people there. We do a lot of free concerts, but none of that size except Ella, because Ella's a national monument. She's a national figure.
Actually, Ella is an international figure, and so is George Ween. He's the biggest producer of jazz events in the world.
You can redo the contract in Japanese, and then we can redo it again in English.
Ween puts on many festivals overseas.
When you do business, you either have faith that you're going to do it or not. A contract has no meaning. Because anytime you don't want to do business with me, I don't hold you. Do you know what I mean? It's not this.
Newport, Rhode Island was the site of Ween's first festival in 1954.
It was a hit from the beginning. I knew if I put a lot of big names together down in Newport and had a festival, the people would come. And we did manage it correctly the first year. The second year, we didn't do so well. We overproduced, and we lost a lot of money. But we learned what we couldn't do and what we could do. And after the third year, the Newport Festival was a success right up until the first demise in 1960.
The beach will be secured at 7 p.m. Attention, please. All patrons are requested to leave the beach in 30 minutes.
The problem was a riot outside the festival site, which resulted in a lot of bad publicity for Newport and jazz festivals in general.
Show your tickets at the checkpoint. No bottles or cans.
Ween's festivals became hard sells to other cities after rowdies tried to crash the gate a second time in 1972.
I remember when we left Newport, with the problems we had there, everywhere I went was a bad word. They said, stay out of town with your jazz festival. Who needs you? You know, you bring trouble.
I don't believe that the White House has ever seen anything like this.
But memories recede. By 1978, it was the White House that needed George Ween and his jazz
Just
festival.
For that, Mr. President, we're going to play the Jimmy Carter jazz rag.
I never saw a reaction to musicians like that in my life. Had to get all those musicians in, and we allowed everybody 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, and we were right on the button. Not one person disrespected what was happening. They were so proud to be there. days in jazz history. Yeah, that was wonderful.
At home in New York, Ween entertains himself by playing the piano. He's a good professional player in his own right.
I never was good enough to copy. I never could sit down and hear a record and play back the record. I had to study too much, and that's one of the reasons, I guess, I never really went further in playing and went into the promoting end of it and the promotional end of it. You know? I got back from there at 10 o'clock this morning. I was from Philadelphia. I was there yesterday and Monday night. I was doing interviews and working on my festival. I was there for that McCoy.
In his New York office, the 57-year-old Ween works on his more than 40 festivals year-round.
No, I have to go to Cleveland for the weekend. We have a festival in Cleveland, too. Miles is playing both. He plays... I'll even go so far as to check the piano.
In 1972, Ween brought his festival to New York. Each year, it's kicked off with an all-star jam session at the mayor's mansion. Ween is justifiably proud of his ability to mix the right players for such an affair.
I'll take eight musicians and put them on a stage without a rehearsal, and they might not know what they're going to do when they get out there, but I know what they're going to do, and they know once they get there.
Musicians like Chuck Mangione have great respect for him.
I think George is a very energetic and very dedicated man, you know. He could be considered maybe the George Steinbrenner of the jazz world. You know, some people are going to love him. Some people can say, you know, he's not happening. But the fact is, he's the only thing happening.
Over here, Houston Person. Houston Person. On the piano, that's John Lewis. Standing behind me right here, Zoot Sims. Over here is Harold.
And this is George Ween.
Harold Owsley, good to see you, Harold. Over there is Chuck Mangione. Next to him is Illinois Jacquet. And leaning back there, looking young and beautiful, is Joe Newman. And next to him, looking young, is John Faddis. Over here is Big Nick Nicholas. And playing the drums is Roy Haynes. And I want to thank all these fantastic guys for coming out here. It's just wonderful. And let's hear it for all these musicians. All right, take it, fellas. You got it.